Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 68. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au, and I've just returned home from New York where I got a chance to check out the latest Bose audio products and even got to chat with the company president and CEO, Bob Maresca. We'll be talking about the new product and hearing from Bob in the Tech Guide interview later on in the show. And there's talk of a rumored Apple event next week to launch the new lineup of iPads. There's also less than 2 months left for analog free-to-air TV. We tell you what you need to do if you or someone you know hasn't made the digital switch. In the Tech Guide reviews, we'll inspect the Samsung Galaxy Gear smartwatch. We'll also check out the Belkin Wi-Fi light switch and the Leap Motion controller, which is now available to buy in Australia. And we'll answer your tech questions in the Tech Guide help desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A packed show for you right here on Tech Guide. Well, if the rumours are correct, Apple will be holding a media event on October the 22nd. That's a week from now. I'm recording this on a Monday, the 14th of October. So in a week and a day, we may be seeing the announcement of the new iPad lineup. They're due. Last year was late October where they made the announcement. They then went on sale in early November. So we'll be keeping our eyes and ears open for any media invitations and announcements October 22nd. But just getting down to the rumors surrounding all these new products, and there have been plenty, as you'd expect. And the biggest rumor, of course, is the fact that the new iPad, the larger iPad, the 9.7-inch device, will have an all-new design. It will look more like the iPad Mini, which has a slimmer frame on either side of the screen. At the moment, if you've got an iPad, the frame is almost the same width the whole way around. So what that does is add a little bit of width to the product, so it's a little bit bulkier. And if you take a look at the iPad Mini, the frame space around the sides of the product of the screen are virtually non-existent. They're quite thin, which makes it that much slimmer and easier to hold in one hand. Well, the news is that Apple will allegedly be adopting a similar design for the new iPad, and that will allow it to be not only retain the same size screen quite easily, but it will also make it narrower. To even possible to hold in one hand, if you've got a big enough hand, that is. But it's at the moment, I think the iPad, the larger iPad, what has kept people from buying it is that they feel it's too big and bulky to carry around. Well, if the new iPad is how we imagine it to be, or how it is rumored to be, then those people may think, well, that block to purchase may be removed, because the new iPad will be, I've heard, up to 2 centimeters narrower than the current model. In terms of the iPad Mini itself, I can't hear of any rumors that that's going to change very much. It'll probably have the faster processor, the bigger iPad. I'm assuming, a lot of people are assuming, that it will inherit the Touch ID fingerprint sensor that we saw on the iPhone 5S. And the iPad Mini, I don't think we'll get it. I think the iPad Mini, the only change I'm hearing is that it may be offered in a similar style to the iPhone 5C. And by that I mean it'll be offered in a range of colors. So we'll be waiting to hear about that. I think the event will also be an opportunity for Apple to talk about Mavericks, the new OS X operating system that was first announced back in June. Also on display, we're hearing, is going to be the Mac Pro. This is the high-end computer that was unveiled for the first time at the Worldwide Developers Conference. Apple never gave a specific date for release. They said it would be this year. So this event could well be the time where they announce a solid date for release of that product, which are so many high-end users and professionals eagerly awaiting, because it is the most powerful product most powerful computer Apple has ever produced. It also features a brand new design, a cylindrical design, almost looks like a jet engine with the bucket loads of power to go along with it. But that's all rumors at this stage. It will hopefully be confirmed in the next day or so. We're hoping that our next podcast will confirm those rumors to be fact, and hopefully we'll get over there ourselves to check it out. You want to read a little bit more about those rumors and check out all of those things that we've just been talking about, head over to techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, it's less than 2 months to go before the free-to-air analog signal is switched off. When it was announced a number of years ago, December 2013 seemed like an eternity. Well, lo and behold, it's less than 2 months away. At 9 a.m. on December the 3rd, 2013, if you don't have a digital set-top box or a digital TV with a digital TV tuner on board, you will not be able to watch free-to-air television. So it's less than 8 weeks to go, and 85% of households, or sorry, I should say 8.5 million households have already made the switch. There's only 6% of households which are yet to make that crossover. And for those, they've still got time, obviously, to go buy a set-top box. They're quite cheap nowadays. You can buy a set-top box for as cheap as $30 if you haven't made that switch. Or you can buy a digital TV with a digital tuner built in. There is a number you can call, 1-800-2010-13, if you need some more information and advice. Or you can head to the Digital Ready site, which is www.digitalready.gov.au. Now, if you yourself haven't done this, or you know of someone who needs some assistance, possibly an elderly person, maybe one of your parents, a grandparent, some other elderly people, they are, if they're eligible pensioners, that they can receive assistance to help them make their digital conversion as well. So if we don't want anyone left behind here, especially older people who feel the TV is something that they enjoy watching. They maybe not be as mobile as they used to be, and they enjoy watching their TV. Well, let's help them if they need that help to make the digital crossover. We don't want them being left in the dark on December the 3rd, 2013. You want to read more about that and link to those sites that I mentioned, digitalready.gov.au, you can head over to techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, we've only just returned from New York, where we attended a Bose launch for their brand new product, the Sound Touch. Now, the Sound Touch is a totally new wireless home audio solution that allows users to stream their music anywhere in the home, control it with an app, and even set presets, and it's actually surprisingly simple to use. Now, Bose aren't the first in the market with this sort of product, but they have certainly put their own spin on it in terms of quality, but they've also done a very impressive job in making the whole thing really, really simple. Now, there's three products they announced. There's the SoundTouch 30, the SoundTouch 20, and the SoundTouch Portable. Now, what they all have in common is a keypad on top of the device and the ability to be controlled using either the remote control, the physical remote control, or an app. Now, what the SoundTouch devices offer is users to access all kinds of music, whether it's your own music on your device at home, on your computer, or streaming music services like Pandora and also internet radio stations from anywhere around the world can now be accessed through the Bose SoundTouch devices. The beauty of it too, though, is the simplicity with which they've set this up. Now, as we said, there are already wireless systems in existence, but none can quite capture the simplicity of the new SoundTouch series, and that comes from the ability to set presets. Now, on the app or on the device itself are 6 numbers, 1 to 6, that allow the user to set presets. So you may have a favorite album, a favorite playlist, a favorite internet radio station that you want to access on one of these presets. You simply assign that using the app, and the corresponding numbers on top of the SoundTouch speakers then allow the user to play that corresponding preset with one touch. It's like turning on the light. So one touch simplicity, you can get to that music that you've already preset. That is what Bose believes will allow people to listen to even more music. It will encourage them to listen to more music, because as it stands, if you have a similar system, you need to open up an app, you need to power on the system, you need to look for that playlist, that album, you need to then stream it to the specific speaker that you want to. That's several keystrokes, several things you need to do before you get to that favorite album or that favorite station or that favorite playlist. But with Bose, they've made the SoundTouch just one touch simplicity. Now, the devices themselves, the SoundTouch 30 is at the top of the line. That has got a built-in subwoofer and its own waveguide technology as well, so that the existing technology, the sound quality is there. I heard it myself. Sounds fantastic, even at high volume, no distortion whatsoever. That's priced at $899. It's 43.2 centimeters wide, so it's a decent sized system. It's quite heavy because there's a built-in subwoofer and speakers, so you get the whole kit in one device. And what they've all got in common too is a display on the front of the product that shows you the playlist or song that's playing, also the name. The SoundTouch 20, the next one down, has that as well. Slightly smaller, it's 30.5 centimeters wide. Still offers a terrific sound. Doesn't have a dedicated subwoofer, but does have the passive opposing radiator technology that allows that promotes that bass sound. Sounds terrific. The SoundTouch Portable, as its name suggests, is a product that you can carry anywhere around the home and also control with the apps as well. The SoundTouch 20 and the SoundTouch Portable are both priced at $549. Now, the SoundTouch 20 plugs into the wall and is more a product designed to stay in the same room. The SoundTouch Portable, though, offers the advantage of a rechargeable lithium-ion battery that can be carried anywhere in the house, doesn't need to be plugged in as long as there's charge in the battery. And it is, as I said, the same price as the SoundTouch 20. What Bose are also rolling out additions or updates to their existing products that can also make them SoundTouch compatible. Now, they're popular Wave systems. There'll be new versions with the SoundTouch capability. So if you're an existing Wave owner, you can trade up to the new systems. Depending on how old your product is or how long you've had it, that will determine then the price of the upgrade. They will also next year introduce the new SoundTouch Stereo dual cube Wi-Fi system. So it's these small dual speakers that create a massive sound. They also come with the Acoustimass module, so that you've got the whole complete solution. And of course, it's all controllable using the Bose Wave SoundTouch system. The app works on Android and iOS, so it's very easy to control. And the event actually in New York was held in a 6-level home in Greenwich Village. And it was very well illustrated with speakers in various rooms that can be played either on their own or together. So if you may be having a party, you might want to group all these speakers together to play the same music. Or if you want to, they can be in their own rooms and play independently. So a very handy way to use the product, and a great way to illustrate not only the room-filling quality, but the convenience of having the control to control them with a dedicated app. Also at the event was the Bose president and CEO, Bob Maresca. We had a chance to sit down with him to get his thoughts on the new product and the motivation behind creating them. And here's what he had to say.
Bob, thanks for your time. We're here in a quite a luxurious home in New York to look at the new Bose SoundTouch systems. Now, I'm very impressed. Now, can you tell us what was the motivation behind creating such a system that's so simple to use?
Yes, we believe that with the proliferation of sources, whether it's internet radio, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and all the stored music, we have tremendous number of options now and more music than ever before. And that's a great benefit, but also presents a challenge. How do we access that music? And, you know, we use our smartphones, we use our tablets, and that's fine for a certain percentage of the population, but it's a little cumbersome and in some cases intimidating for the average person to get to all these sources. So, you know, we've been aware of internet radio and all these sources for a long time, but we've been working in research for many years trying to find a way to crack the code so that we can bring these great benefits to the average person.
Absolutely. And I noticed too, because there was mention of like the missing links and the missing elements, mm-hmm. was that simplicity, like that reducing the barrier to hear your favorite music, for example, with the presets on the system, that's kind of a unique feature for these systems for you guys, isn't it?
It really is. And the ironic thing, I'm an engineer, I love technology, and I have no problem getting on my iPhone or my iPad and searching, you know, the World Wide Web for music. But my wife is, she's an English major. Right? She just wants to hear music. And it's ironic that it takes more technology to make something simple than to have something that's high tech.
Absolutely.
And it's taken us a number of years, and we ourselves have held a very high bar. That's why we haven't entered before, until we had something that we felt that had broad appeal, then everybody could get access to music.
I notice you've obviously got a very strong customer base and that really enjoy the quality of your music, of your audio through their headphones and other devices. But it's the smaller Bluetooth devices, they were the products that people were listening to in their home, weren't they? So these has come along at the right time.
Absolutely. And by the way, I listened to the Bluetooth products in my home just because they were convenient. But they were single point-to-point. And if you wanted multi-room, you can't get it with Bluetooth. And when you move from room to room, you've got to bring your Bluetooth with you. This is great because you can have a product in every room and your music can follow you. You can turn on as many rooms as you want, just listen in a single room. For the home application, Wi-Fi is definitely the best technology.
Absolutely. And just a question about Australia. We're very avid audio listeners and very good Bose customers. How do we compare to the rest of the world?
You know, Australia is probably the closest to the U.S. in terms of consumer preferences and uses. Of course, we're global, and we try our best to understand the Chinese market, the Indian market, the European market. But I think that there's a real commonality between Australia and the United States. In fact, when I'm traveling in Asia Pacific and I land in Australia, I know I can get a great steak and a good beer.
Great. We really appreciate your time. Thank you, Bob.
Oh, my pleasure. Great talking with you.
The Tech Guide podcast is brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Do you want to take all your photos, videos, music, apps, or any website off the small screen and put it on the big screen? Well, now you can with the Netgear PTV 3000 push-to-TV wireless display adapter. Push-to-TV will mirror whatever is displayed on your Intel WiDi or Miracast-supported smartphone, and there are plenty on the market at the moment, the Galaxy S4, the HTC One, the LG Optimus G. There's plenty on the market, and it works with tablets or even your laptop screen. You can put whatever's displaying on those screens on your HDTV. So you can browse the internet, play your favorite online videos, or enjoy a slideshow of your favorite photos wirelessly on your TV without having to connect your mobile device physically to the TV with a cable. Push-to-TV supports up to 1080p HD and 5.1 surround sound for an awesome home entertainment experience. So if you want to see more, check out Netgear's Push-to-TV wireless display adapter at netgear.com.au/push-to-TV.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
And we're kicking off this week's Tech Guide Reviews with an interesting product, the Galaxy Gear smartwatch from Samsung. Now, we were in Berlin when the Galaxy Gear was unveiled for the very first time, alongside its companion device, the Galaxy Note 3 smartphone. Now, this is a new direction for technology. It's this wearable technology that we're going to see a lot more of into the future. Now, you may recall last week we discussed Google Glass. That's a product you wear like a pair of glasses. Well, here the Galaxy Gear smartwatch takes that into another direction again. This is something I think we're going to see. This is the dawn of a new era in this kind of technology. And the Galaxy Gear is a very good first attempt. Now, what it does, it connects wirelessly using Bluetooth to the Galaxy Note 3 smartphone and then acts as a way for you to preview what notifications you receive, whether it's a call, whether it's an email, a text message, an eBay item that's on sale. All of these apps are now going to be optimized to use with the Galaxy Gear. There's already some apps that are already available, especially health and fitness apps, which we'll get to in a moment. But it's basically an extension of your smartphone on your wrist. So rather than you having to refer continually to your device, you can simply look down at your wrist to see if you've had any messages, any missed calls, if there are any calls coming through right now. So it's a very handy little product. Now, we had a good look at this and have a full review up at techguide.com.au, and it's got a 1.63-inch screen. It's got a resolution of 320 by 320, so it's a decent screen, pretty sharp, and the device itself in terms of design is not too big and bulky. It does have a rather large screen, so if you've got a small wrist, it's going to look pretty big. But on our wrist, you can see it on a Tech Guide. It looked like not much bigger than a normal size watch, and it's the actual width of the phone and thickness of the phone wasn't too bad. There's also a camera in the front of the band, so facing outwards, the lens is meant to be positioned, so you can take a photo of your surroundings. Now, the features themselves, now let's start with the, say, app notifications, like you get a message. If you do receive a message on your wrist, you can read it, but you can't type out a reply. The screen is too small. There's no room for a keyboard. So that's one thing you can't do with the Galaxy Gear. But there is S voice, so you can dictate your response. If you get a message, you may want to dictate an answer. The device will actually show you what the result of that dictation, and you can say send once you're happy with it. So right from your wrist, you can read and reply using your voice and send it off as well. In terms of emails and things like that, same deals apply, but we found it best for messaging. Having a screen this small is obviously something that you need to compensate for. And the key, there's no way you can use a keyboard in this product. People say, well, it wouldn't be easy to type on that screen. Well, no, it's not. It's too small to type on the screen. You can type in numbers. A number pad just fits on this device. A full-size keyboard will not. The other really cool thing, though, is the fact that this is strapped on your arm the whole time makes it a great, great product to use for health and fitness apps. There's a built-in pedometer on the device so that it will track your steps, your calories burned. You can set it up for a number of preferences to set goals and things like that. It did a great job of keeping track of where and how far we walked. In terms of calls, yes, you can make and receive calls on the Galaxy Gear. Calls that come in through, obviously, the Galaxy Note 3, and we understand that it will also be compatible in the near future to the Galaxy S4, the Galaxy S3, and the Galaxy Note 2. So it will have a widespread compatibility. On the call side, though, if you don't want people to hear your calls, then it's best for you to take the call on the smartphone itself. Now, if you're on your own, you can afford to have the speakers going and you talking into your wrist, then that's quite easy to do. But as I said, there is no way for you to just hear the device, the call through the watch without the speakers being engaged. So you need to, if you're in a crowded place, you may struggle to hear the call, but also to reply to answer the call, that the noise may get in the way, and you're holding a watch up to your mouth as well, so you're going to look like a little bit of a Secret Service agent talking into your wrist. But look, if you don't mind looking like that, then go for it. In terms of the performance, obviously it works pretty well. It's not slow at all. It's pretty responsive. The screen is really easy to navigate. You just swipe left and right to get to all the various features. Charging the product, though, I had a look at that when I first got it. I had a look at the device and I could not find the micro USB charging port. But what I did find also in the box was a charging cradle. Now, there's a plastic frame that fits around the watch that clips on, clips around the watch and fastens in place. And on the back of the frame is that micro USB charging port. So what that's done is it may have, while it's created a little bit of inconvenience having to carry a second item to charge the device, what it's done is reduce the bulk that would have been there if they had have built that micro USB directly into the Galaxy Gear itself. So on the one hand, they're doing you a favor. On the other hand, they're giving you something else to carry around. Now, the camera. There is a camera on this device as well. I've had mixed reactions to the presence of a camera here because some people thought, well, you know what? It's not where you expect a camera to be. So it was a little off-putting to some people. They felt that it's almost like a hidden camera because people are not used to there being a camera on your wrist and you taking photos with it. Well, I found it to be handy because if you do want to take a photo real quick, you didn't have to then pull out your smartphone out of your pocket, activate the camera and shoot. You can simply one-touch, swipe down, camera's activated, press the screen, you've captured your image. Not in as good a quality as you would on your smartphone, but you would have done it nonetheless. It can also shoot video, so you're less likely to miss that moment. Again, the quality is not as good, but the quality is still not bad, though, for the Galaxy Gear quality. The camera is, I believe, 2 megapixel or 1.9 megapixel. And I've even put up a photo or an image that I captured using the Galaxy Gear camera. I think it was not too bad at all. It's 1.9 megapixel. The quality is actually pretty surprisingly good. The quality is actually surprisingly good from the Galaxy Gear smartwatches camera. Now, it's available now. It's priced at $329. Works well with the Galaxy Note 3. I think this is a great first attempt at the smartwatch. It still has things that probably not sort of well done, so a couple of features missing. I think, though, that the next version is going to be even better. Now, Samsung are a sort of company that want to be out there. They want to offer products first. They want to be competitive. I think there's been massive rumors of Apple producing a similar product, and I think Samsung wanted to get into a market with a product before they did. They've done that, and while it's an above average product, it's not an excellent product. There are still some features that I think can be improved. I think the challenge here, though, is getting it on the wrists of those early adopters, those younger users who live for technology. But the problem there is they've had a mobile phone in their pockets growing up and they use that as their watch. So getting a watch on their wrists, I think, is going to be a bit of a challenge. The Galaxy Gear might not be that product, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. If you want to read our full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Next up, we're going to look at Belkin's new Wemo smart light switch. Now, if anyone can recall, Wemo is the Belkin's line of smart products that allow users to turn products off and on remotely. So the Wemo switch goes in the wall, product goes into the Wemo switch, and then it is now controllable wirelessly using the free Wemo app, whether it's on iOS or Android. Now, the Wemo line has gone another step into your light switch. So now, not only can you control your products remotely using the app, you can now turn the lights off and on and see whether they're off and on using the app. So the app tells you whether a product is off or on. How many times have you left the house and thought, did I turn the iron off? Using the app, you can see whether the iron is on or off and turn it off if you haven't done that at home, anywhere using the app, as long as you've got a connection to either 3G, 4G, or Wi-Fi. Now, the same deal applies to the light switch. So now, in place of your regular light switch that you need to flick on and off, you can now do that wirelessly. Belkin is partnered up with Jim's Electrical. So if you need any hand in installing your Wemo light switch, then they've got a national launch partnership there so that you can get a reliable installation solution if you're not confident doing the job yourself. We don't want anyone hurting themselves. So if you want to use the Wemo light switch, it's $69.95, so not that expensive. If you want to switch out a couple of light switches, give it that smart home feel, and you can even see, you can tell whether they're on or off. You can even, say you're on holidays, here's a good example. If you're on your holidays and you want the appearance that there is someone in your home, you can use the Wemo products to turn things on and off, whether it's a television using the Wemo switches, the lights using the light switch, so you can give the impression that someone's in your house even though you're not. So that's yet one of the many uses for the Wemo light switch. It's also compatible with an online service called ifttt.com. That's short for If This, Then That. That is a collection of services and sequences that can be created using this internet-based service to activate or deactivate your products. In other words, there are triggers that you can program. For example, there is an IFTTT for if you receive a Facebook notification, the light switch will be turned on. That's probably a poor example, but these are the sort of things you can program. You can program the light switches to come to turn on when at certain times of the day. You can program that at 5 p.m. the light switches on your network turn on. You can program it that at certain times of the day the TV turns on. The lamp goes on if you get a like on one of your Instagram pictures. Things like that. There's plenty of examples on at ifttt.com for you to choose from. That's if you want to take it to the next level. But if for anyone who just wants the simple convenience of turning a light on and off using an app from anywhere in the world, the Belkin Wemo light switch is for you. You can check out my full story at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, it wasn't that long ago, a couple of months ago, where we mentioned a product called Leap Motion. Now, this is a small device, slightly larger than a USB thumb drive, that connects to your computer using USB, whether it's a Mac or PC, and it allows you to control your computer and interact with your computer like never before. Forget the keyboard, forget the mouse. Leap Motion creates a 3D interactive space in front of your computer. It gives you Minority Report style control over your computer. Anyone who's seen that movie, Minority Report, starring Tom Cruise, he's standing in front of the computer, waving his arms around, controlling things, pushing things on and off the screen. You can do that with Leap Motion. Now, it's gone on sale in Australia for the very first time. It's been on sale for international customers for a couple of months now, but it is available now from Dick Smith stores. So if you want to change the way you interact with your TV, and you have to check out the video we've got on Tech Guide, you can see that little video. That's actually, there are my hands in that video. You can see how easy it is to interact with your computer, and there are hundreds of apps now being created that work with Leap Motion for various uses, whether it's for gaming or education. There are so many apps that are now available through the Airspace Store. There's more than 65,000 developers apparently now from around the world who are creating apps for Leap Motion. This is a totally new direction for computing and interacting with that computer that you will only, you need to see it to believe it. And you can do that by going to techguide.com.au. Check out our review and our story. It's priced at $129.95 from Dick Smith Stores.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Our first question is from the Tech Guide forum page. It's from PJ13, and he asks, does the forum have any recommendations for a reliable app that I can install on my iPhone 5 to control iTunes and PowerPoint presentations on both an iPad and Windows-based laptop? Well, the answer to that question, let's go from the top, controlling iTunes. You can do that using Apple's very own remote app, and it will allow you to control iTunes as if you were at the keyboard of your computer from your iPhone. So you can select the music you want to play. iTunes has to be running on your computer, by the way, and you can play the music, navigate, pause. pause, rewind, next track, previous track, all from your iPhone. In terms of controlling a presentation, now I'm going to give an answer to Keynote and to PowerPoint. Keynote is another Apple product, another Apple app that lets you control Keynote presentation. I think it's called Keynote Remote. So if you're running Keynote on your Mac, you can easily control it using your iPhone and that app. If you want to control a PowerPoint presentation from your iPhone as well, there is a free app called MyPoint PowerPoint Remote that lets you control that app, your presentation, using your iPhone or your iPad. So there's hopefully that answers your question, PJ13. And that wraps up our show for another week. You can read about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, you can send us an email at info@techguide.com.au and send us your help desk questions, as PJ13 did, to the Tech Guide forum. You can also use my app, VoiceBite. You can download VoiceBite for the iPhone, coming soon to Android. It allows you to record and share 15 seconds of audio. In this case, it would be your question to be featured on the Tech Guide help desk. Make sure you add #AskStephen to the clip title. So get downloading now, record your question, and I will play that question. Your voice will be heard here on Tech Guide, and I will then answer that question on the help desk. And a special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your company. We look forward to catching up with you next week. So in the meantime, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.